Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman. Mike Morial, the NHL Draft Lottery was last night. The Montreal Canadiens won it. We've got the draft order 1 through 16 set. And now we've got Mock Draft 1.0. You can read about it on NHL.com. But today on NHL Draft Class, let's talk through how we put it together.
This is an exciting time, Adam. I'm looking forward to this. We always look forward to the mock drafts. So let's see here. The Canadiens are set to become the first team to host a draft and select first overall since 1985 in Toronto when the Maple Leafs selected Wendell Clark. So it's been that long. And we know Kent Hughes, the GM for the Montreal Canadiens, said last night during his availability after the lottery that they're keeping the pick, Adam. So
well, that's Montreal, not a surprise. That can't be a surprise to anybody that they would. You get the number one pick. It's in your building. You have the home draft advantage. Couldn't even imagine the reaction in Montreal if he said, no, we're gonna trade the pick. Unless the return is Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Sidney Crosby level. Wouldn't want to be in his shoes if he traded that pick.
Well, we've heard it before, too. The teams that have won the first overall pick said, hey, you know, with the, you know, saying we may want to trade it. So it's just nice to see Kent Hughes kind of settle us all down. We're taking the number one pick. Now it's a matter who are the Montreal Canadiens going to select. The last time, actually, Adam, a Canadian franchise besides the Edmonton Oilers or the Toronto Maple Leafs was 1996 when the Ottawa Senators used it to select defenseman Chris Phillips. So it's been a long time. And here are the Montreal Canadiens with, you know, our original six franchise finally getting on the board to select number one. First time they'll do so since 1980. So it's, congratulations to the organization. And then, of course, the New Jersey Devils slide in there, Adam. They slide in there. Number two, moving up three spots from number five. So it's the Canadiens, Devils, Arizona with the first three picks.
So, all right. So let's look at number one. And, you know, we had Dan Morrow on NHL Draft Class last show, and he said he wouldn't be surprised if any of four players went number one. But as you're sitting there plotting this out, you watch Montreal get number one. How long did it take you to type in Shane Wright's name next to on the Montreal line? Because I know for me, it did not take any time at all.
Yep, I'm with you. Shane's been the guy that has been, you know, known for playing the game the right way. He's reliable. I think that teams look to add that high-end IQ to their lineup, a player that situationally, you know, knows the game. You can rely on him. I expect that he'll be one of those type players, Adam, that, you know, his overall two-way game, that foundation, that's what you need to win championships. And Shane Wright is that type player.
Well, not only that, and those things are all obvious, but how many years have we sat here and said the Canadians need to rebuild through the middle? They need centers. Going back to when they took Kokaniemi at number three, we've been saying they needed a center, and now they don't have Kokaniemi. They don't have Phil Deneau. They need something in the middle. They have a couple of really nice wingers. They need somebody to get him the puck. Shane Wright is a guy who can get him the puck. And you talked about the complete game, the comparisons to Patrice Bergeron. And look, we've had Shane on NHL Draft Class. We've talked to him. And he said his focus, you know, he said his focus is to win Stanley Cups, not scoring titles, nothing else. Kent Hughes said during his availability, we want to add character people, character players to our organization. I think it's just, from a positional need, it works. From a talent need, it works. From, you know, an on-ice, off-ice chemistry, whatever the Canadiens are looking for, Shane Wright brings it to them. And you know, like you said, it was a no-brainer decision. Right team, right player, right situation. There should be no hesitation when he walks to the Bell Center podium. They might as well have, you know, Wright's name already sewn on instead of – I know they put the Velcro strips on there. I don't think you need Velcro. I think you could just – you can sew his nameplate on a Canadiens jersey right now.
But then we get to number two and the New Jersey Devils.
This was an interesting choice for me. I want to hear what you say, but I know I was back and forth a little bit at this spot.
I got to say, Adam, I mean, Tom Fitzgerald was made available after after winning that number two pick. And, you know, some of the things he was saying, you know, it kind of had me really putting on the thinking cap, you know. From what Fitzgerald was hearing from his scouts, you know, he feels there's a lot of similar upside projection with the different positions. He said what makes it hard and challenging, but it's a great problem to have, is that a lot of these guys are projected to have similar upside. And with that in mind, he said, we're going to draft the best player possible. So he's kind of saying the best of both worlds here from what I'm taking away from that. And that is, there are a lot of players in this draft with similar skill sets that are equally, you know, exceptional, but they play different positions. So does that mean you go positionally looking for a need? Because if that's what you're saying, then maybe you take a right-handed D. Maybe you take a winger. But in this case, in my eyes, from what he was saying, I think it's going to be Juraj Slafkovský from TPS in Finland. I Slafkovský has the great size, the reach, the strength. And let's face it, you know, when we had Dan Maher on NHL Draft Class just last week talking about the final rankings, it was Maher that said that, you know, he hates using the word NHL ready with 18 and 19 year old players, but physically, Slafkovský might be the closest to take on competing for an NHL job next year.
That's all well and good, Mike, but I have a couple questions for you. Jack Hughes, what position does he play?
He plays center.
Nico Hischier, what's his natural position?
He plays center.
And Dawson Mercer, where was he best at last season? I think you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah, well, he played wing on Jack Hughes' line, but yeah, his natural position is center.
Okay, so you've got Logan Cooley on one hand, and you got Juraj Slafkovský on the other, right? If according to him, everybody's equal, why would you take another center? Now, obviously, guys can move the wing. You mentioned Mercer. Hughes played on the wing a little bit last season as well. Nico's played there in the past, but you look at Slafkovský, and you mentioned physically ready, 6'4", 218. You know, as you said, Dan Maher said he might be ready to play in the NHL right now. We saw what he did at the Olympics. He's already got experience playing in the Liga against fully grown, fully developed men. You know, if you can add that big body and that skill into your lineup next season, and that's not a slight against Logan Cooley or any of the defensemen, but it looks like Slafkovsky's ready to go. Just, yeah, you know, give him a locker stall right now, put him out there. You know, to me, that was really, that was it. I originally, you know, when we're laying them out, if you're looking at, you know, who's the most skilled and who's the best player, could you make the argument Cooley is a slightly better player when you lay out all the assets, all the pros, all the cons? Maybe. But when you see a team, and I know we've always talked about never draft for need because your need today might not be your need tomorrow and all that stuff, but in the rare instances, I think it is okay to draft for need when you have stockpiled your centers and there is an outstanding ready to play tomorrow NHL ready winger sitting there for you. To me, it's as easy a choice as it was for Montreal with Shane Wright. It was just as easy for me with Slafkovský at number two to the Devils.
Yeah, I just think I do feel as though he could be the next best available in this draft class as well. The ceiling is tremendous. He's playing world championships right now. And the other thing I just want to mention before we move on to number three in Arizona, Adam, is the fact that Craig Ramsey, a coach we respect, an individual, a hockey mind we respect very much, who yes, coaches the men's national team in Slovakia. Just a reminder that he told me in an interview that, Slafkovský reminds him a little bit of Clark Gillies. And Clark Gillies, we all know what he was able to do in those cup championship years with the Islanders back in the early 80s. Another similar, he's going to be his own type player, no doubt, but he has similar type traits in the way he goes about his business on the ice. So, number two, we were both in agreement there with Juraj Slafkovský for sure. And I think we are in agreement, Adam, with number three as well.
We are, and I'm not really a big fan of all this group thought where we're on the same path here. So Logan Cooley, however, you know, again, we talked about this. Sometimes it's okay to not have number one because the decision's made for you and you still end up with a player that can really, really help you. And Logan Cooley looks like a player who can really, really help the Arizona Coyotes. They need scoring. They need to get faster. They need to get more skilled. Well, Logan Cooley has all that. And we talked to Adam Nightingale on a recent episode of NHL Draft Class. And what stood out to me is as high end as Cooley's skill set is, it's the work ethic. It was the drive, the determination, the competitiveness that he has that makes him a special player when you combine all that with the high end skill set. And you know, he's, you know, unlike Slafkovský and probably unlike Shane Wright, he's going to need some time to develop in college. That's okay. You know, it's not like the Coyotes need him to, you know, make that jump from, you know, what were they, last in the Western Conference to Stanley Cup contender. They have a lot of holes to fill. But when you look at what they drafted last year with Dylan Guenther, now they're going to have the chance to add a Logan Cooley to their lineup. You can sort of see the pieces start coming together. And when you look 3 or 4 years down the line, there's not, you know, you're talking about a pretty good foundation here that the Coyotes are going to have. And they have, I think two more first round picks later in the draft. So they've really got a chance to charge up their rebuild there under Bill Armstrong, who we know is a really good eye for talent from what he did in St. Louis, you know, how he built a lot of that team that we see on the ice now. He's responsible for scouting and drafting a lot of those guys. So, you know, you can see him starting to make an imprint in Arizona. And I think Logan Cooley could be a big part of that moving forward.
Yeah. You know, you look at what Arizona has in their pipeline. You mentioned Dylan Guenther on wing, defenseman Victor Soderstrom, you know, left wing Matias Michelli, right wing Josh Doan are in the pipeline. So a lot of great wingers on the horizon. But yeah, they need to build a little bit down the middle. Logan Cooley is going to go to the University of Minnesota next year. He'll spend 1 year, maybe two. I don't think it doesn't appear as though he'll be playing with the Arizona Coyotes next season. We'd expect him to go through at least one season of college hockey, maybe two. So he'll learn, he'll grow there under a good coaching staff. And, you know, who knows, maybe after that second season, as we saw a lot of the University of Michigan players do, including Owen Power, Matty Beniers, Kent Johnson, and then sign after that second year. So Logan Cooley, number three, it's to me, that's a no-brain pick for the Arizona Coyotes. I think it would be a great choice for them. Then at number four, Adam, the Seattle Kraken. Again, we're in agreement. What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know what it is? It shows that you're listening to me and you're actually kind of getting on my mindset here, because it's the right way to go. I believe when we go back and look, I think last year's draft, which one of us, well, we're not going to dwell on which one of us had more first round picks and have more guys in slot because it was me, but we're not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. However, Seattle Kraken, they put the first piece of the foundation in place last year at the draft with Matty Beniers. Now you find that franchise defenseman, Simone Nemec, you know, again, right player, right fit, right team, right spot to get him. You know, he's probably the most talented player available. Not only that, he fills a role of need because the Seattle Kraken, they need to start building that prospect base. They did a good job of it last year. I think they had 7 picks in the draft or maybe 8. No, now they can start adding another layer to that future 3-4 years from now when they're ready to start contending for a playoff spot. Matty Beniers up front, Simone Nemec on the back end. You can kind of maybe start seeing them putting some pieces in place.
Yeah, I think Ron Francis and Director of Amateur Scouting there, Robert Cron, will target some European players in this draft. And who better to start out with than Simon Nemec of Nitra in Slovakia. The Kraken need more D in the pipeline, Adam. Nemec is a right-handed D. Riker Evans of Regina, who they took in the second round of the 21 draft, and Ville Ahtovainen of JYP in Liga are their top two D in the system. So Nemec is that offensive defenseman they want. Obviously, last year was their first year as an expansion team, so you're still trying to rebuild with players capable of maybe carrying your team for the next 5-10 years. I think Nemec would be another great point to start at as far as the blue line goes for the Seattle Kraken. Then finally, Adam, the Philadelphia Flyers. We kind of switched it up here with you going with Joachim Kamel of JYP, and I went with David Juracek, the defenseman from Pilsen.
Yeah, you know, every time we spoke to Chuck Fletcher, you know, and I cover the Philadelphia Flyers, I'm around them a lot, you know, similar to how you are with the Devils. And pretty much every time we've spoken to Fletcher, he has said, we need to get more dynamic. We need more offense. We need faster players. And Joachim Kamel fills all of those needs. He's a guy with the ability to put the puck in the net. You know, 15 goals in 39 games as a 17-year-old for most of that season in Liga, that says to me he's a guy who knows how to put the puck in the net. I know he had a little bit of an injury, so maybe the numbers at the end of the day don't look all that great. But 39, you know, 15 goals as a 17-year-old playing against men, that's an impressive amount. Now, is he going to be ready to jump right in their lineup next season? Probably not. They have a few other forwards who are a little bit more advanced in the developmental stage, but he spends one more year in Finland. He might be ready to make that jump at 5'11 and 171 pounds. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of size that you really need to see him put on. Like, I go back to when they drafted Morgan Frost and he was 160 pounds and he was a guy who you knew, you looked at him, he was thin, he needed to get stronger, and it's taken him some time, but it looks like maybe finally he's ready to be that guy. I don't think Kamel is going to need the amount of physical development that it's going to take. It's just a matter of, you know, being smart, continuing on that physical development curve, you know, further, you know, getting used to playing with and against men. The Flyers just hired Sami Kapanen, who's going to be, you know, he's in Finland. He's based in Finland. So I'm sure he would spend a lot of time with Kamel if the Flyers went that direction, helping him out, helping him, you know, learn what it's going to take to be in the NHL. But, you know, you look at the skill set, you look at what he's able to do, the skating, the shot, you know, he's got, you watch him play, that he's able to win battles on the wall. He's able to win one-on-one battles. He's not afraid of the physicality, which is saying a lot for a 17-year-old playing against men. You know, if he's available, if he's sitting there, I would have a hard time passing on Kamel because he fills what they need. He's probably the best player available at this point. So, to me, it seems like a pretty good fit. You know, you went with Juracek here. I'm curious why you saw them taking a defenseman in this spot.
Well, similar to what you just said. I mean, if the Flyers need to take a player that, you know, in their system that's going to grow and learn and really help them down the road, you know, Juracek to me is a potential number two defenseman at the next level. He's menacing. His offensive game was improving after he returned from injury. You know, Cam York is expected to join the Flyers full-time next season along the blue line. Igor Zamula showed some good promise with that club. Flyers have a multitude of wingers in their pipeline already. Ty Forrester, Wade Allison, Bobby Brink is going to be there probably next year. Sammy Tamwala, Noah Cates is there as well. They need players who are going to support their goalie, Adam. You know, because right now, I don't know what's going on with the, along the blue line with the Flyers, but they need players. They need to stockpile their pipeline there. And starting out with a guy that's 6'3", 189 pounds, can skate real well, is physical. David Juracek is a Flyer through and through. I think getting Juracek, having him play in Czechia for maybe another year, 2 years before he turns pro is probably the best bet for them. But I think he's a player that ultimately would provide what the Flyers need if they want to have long, successful runs as you know, in the playoffs and become Stanley Cup contenders like, you know, many people would expect them to be. And it's been a few tough years for the Flyers, but, you know, building along the blue line, building from the goalie out actually is the way to go. And we know that the Flyers have, you know, their future in Carter Hart. He just hasn't had that support, and it begins all along the blue line. And I think David Juracek is that player.
Yeah, I'm going to lean more towards him going with the forward, but let's look at number six. Now, the Columbus Blue Jackets, this is a pick they got from Chicago for the Seth Jones trade. So, you know, this is sort of a bonus for them having a spot, having a second pick here in the top 16. And we're in agreement here, you know, great. We're back in the same mindset, but Cutter Gauthier from the U.S. national team program. And, you know, to me, he's a guy that looks like the skating, the shot already looked to be NHL caliber with the power forward size at 6'2" and 189. You know, I'm curious to see what he's going to look like when he gets around an NHL strength coach. He's going to be able to be even stronger, even better, even more capable of playing that, you know, bang and crash, get to the net, create havoc in front of the net, and use those good hands in tight to produce offense.
Yeah, to get a player like Gauthier to work alongside Kent Johnson at some point in the future would be pretty special. Gauthier would be able to create that time and space that Johnson will need to do his magic, not to mention create opportunities for himself as well. So, size, excellent shot, release, two-way game. Cutter Gauthier has it all. You know, when we spoke to Adam Nightingale of the at the time he was the NTTP U18 coach. You know, he told us such good things about how good a skater Gauthier was and that power forward type game that he can present and bring. So yeah, I think this would be a great pick for Columbus here at number six to get Cutter Gauthier. Number seven, Adam, with the Ottawa Senators. We change it up again. You went with Pavel Minchikov, and I went with Kamel, whom you had going earlier in the draft.
Yeah, I really like Minchikov when I watched him. Just you know, there's some really, he's a fun player to watch. That's the thing I think of when I think of Minchikov. I think he's a fun player to watch. A lot of risk reward in his game, similar to Erik Karlsson, who, you know, was very successful with the Ottawa Senators. Now, I'm not going to compare the two. You know, Karlsson had outstanding seasons when he was in Ottawa, but he has that offensive element, that extra element, the offensive instincts that they don't really have in that organization. And I know Thomas Chabot is their number one guy, and he looks like a franchise defenseman. Jake Sanderson is a guy that everybody's really excited to see how he's able to do in that Ottawa lineup next year. They have Lassie Thompson, who's developing. You know, they have other Jacob Berner Docker is a high end offensive guy, or at least he projects to be that kind of guy. But Minchikov is something a little different. He's got the skating. He's got the offensive instincts. He's not afraid to jump in the play and lead the rush. He can make the smart pass out and support the offensive attack. But if there's a mistake, his skating is so good that it allows him to make up for any problems that he has. You know, they've used him on the PK in Saginaw, so those coaches already trust him in that defensive role. You know, I'm sure at some point when he gets to the NHL, those coaches will figure out he's able to kill penalties and be a well-rounded 200-foot player. But I really like watching him. That risk-reward is going to be something he's going to have to smooth out a little bit in his game as he comes along. But I think once he gets that full development package together, he's going to be a really, really good NHL player.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like Minchikov, and there's a strong possibility he could go there. But if Kamel does fall here, and I believe it's a good possibility, I think it's a no-brainer for the Senators. They've got center Shane Pinto, center Riley Gregg, right wing Tyler Boucher in their pipeline. Kamel would surpass all of them on the prospect depth chart. You know, Kamel could become the first Finland-born player in the past 3 years to be chosen among the top 10 picks. So we expect him to go top 10, and you know, I just kind of like him here at this point. And I know he had that injury early in the season, which affected his season, Adam, and you mentioned that a little bit. You know, you have him going to the Flyers, but he did rebound really well at the U18s. You know, led his country in goals, power play goals, game winning goals, and tying for the lead in points. So if there was any question about Kamel and that injury that he, you know, that shoulder injury that he had early in the season that forced him to miss a month, I mean, he really, you know, showed that, you know, he's ready, capable, and willing to do whatever it takes to become an NHL pro. So it was good to see him rebound the way he did at the U18s.
So let's look at the Detroit Red Wings at number 8. And again, we had different opinions here, and I went with Matt Savoy from Winnipeg in the Western Hockey League. And you watch Savoy skate, he might be the best skater and the quickest skater in this year's draft class. So let's imagine 3 years from now, Matt Savoy coming down on a breakaway with Lucas Raymond, and that's going to give goaltenders nightmares around the NHL. You look at the speed, you look at the hockey sense that Savoy has, man, that's a tough package to pass on. And, you know, I think he's got a high hockey IQ. He's always seems to be around the puck, always seems to be in the right place at the right time. So there's a two-way element that could grow in his game, but that explosive skating really makes him stand out. And you know, when you look at Dylan, they have Dylan Larkin in trenches, number one center there. You add a Matt Savoy behind him. He can play on your power play. He can add some depth to your offense. I think to me, that's a really good fit in Detroit. I think he's a smart pick there. You went a little differently. You took the traditional Detroit, the traditional Sweden to Detroit route there with Jonathan Lekkerimäki.
Yes. You know, who's the one general manager that always seems to surprise us at the NHL draft, right, Adam? It's Stevie Y. And, you know, while Savoy may be the chalk pick here, and he certainly could go here, I just think, you know, there's something about this 5'10", 165-pound Lekkerimäki, who plays for Djurgården in the Swedish Hockey League, that, you know, really has, you know, could really do good things once he reaches the NHL. So he's number 6 on NHL Central Scouting's international list at this point. So I like Savoy, but, you know, I'll follow my gut here and take Lekkerimäki, who's probably the best Sweden-born prospect on the draft board this season. So, a pure sniper, plays that two-way game, real good hands and some explosiveness. And he led the U18s, Adam, the world U18s, with 15 points and 10 assists for first place Sweden. Of course, Sweden defeated the United States in the gold medal game. And he scored 9 points in 26 games with Djurgården, in the Swedish Hockey League, the top professional league in Sweden. So I like what Lerik Ymäki has to offer, and I think it'd be a great pick here for the Red Wings.
So the Buffalo Sabres at number nine, I went with David Juracek, and you spoke in length about Juracek earlier, but to me, if I'm the Sabres and he's sitting there and you can add a guy with the skill set of a Juracek to Owen Power, Matias Samuelsson, Rasmus Dahlin, 2-3 years from now, maybe even sooner, that's a deep, talented, skilled, scary top 4D, because you've got guys there who can skate, who can play, who can be physical, who can be nasty, you know, who can help play on your power play and kill penalties. And look, it's all going to rotate around Owen Power. We saw what he did in the handful of games he played in the NHL. He looked like he never missed a beat. It looked like he looked like a 10-year veteran in his first game. Rasmus Dahlin had a real rebound of his season. Matias Samuelsson is a rock back there with the shot blocking and the physicality and the penalty killing. And then you add the potential to add a Juracek with all his skills. We talked about the Sabres being out of the playoffs for 11 years in a row. When that's your foundation to build on, that's a foundation of a playoff team right there.
You know, I'd be surprised if Juracek drops to number nine. That's my only thing. I think if he is there, you take him. I also feel if Matt Savoy is in this spot and Juracek isn't, then you take Matt Savoy. So next best available for the Sabres here. Look, Peyton Krebs showed good signs after the trade from Vegas for the Sabres. They have plenty of wingers in the pipeline and Jack Quinn, JJ Paterka, Isaac Rosen. So you grab a real, and you talked about him in length in detail earlier, Adam. You know, Savoy is that fast skating guy. I mean, he's so fun to watch. You call up YouTube, do a search for Savoy and watch some of the moves. He's great on the PK special team. So I really like what Savoy has to offer. I think the Sabres would be lucky to get him here at number nine.
All right, number 10, we got the Anaheim Ducks. And again, we're kind of all over the place here. For me, it was Danila Yurov from Magnitogorsk in Russia. You know, he played 21 KHL games. He was better than a point-a-game guy in Russia's, junior league. So he's playing against his own guys, his own age, and he's excelling. I had a scout compare him to Marian Hossa. Okay, we know what Marian Hossa certainly did over his Hall of Fame career. You can get a guy like that at number 10. Trevor Zegras drew a lot of the attention this year because of all the great things he was able to do. But they've built a pretty decent base of young forward prospects there. You know, Sam Steele is still in that group. They have other guys coming up, Max Jones, who look like they can be players. Max Comtois had an off year, but there's more certainly from him. Isaac Lundestrom. You add a year off to that group, a guy who can be a two-way player. He skates well. He's elusive with the puck. 6'1", 178. He's going to have to fill out a little bit, but he already is able to play strong in one-on-one battles. He knows how to play defensively. Hockey IQ is good. I think that's a really good pick for the Ducks, and you don't have to worry about rushing him to the NHL. I know there's a lot of issues with taking players from Russia right now in the global climate we're in, but Yurov's not a guy who's ready to step into the lineup right away, whether anything was going on or not. He was going to need at least a year, 2 years, maybe even 3 years to develop and grow accustomed to his body, get a little bigger, get a little bit stronger, get a little more experience playing against, fully developed men. If the Ducks have patience, I think Yurov's a really good pick for them in this spot.
Yeah, it would be. But I kind of, when I look at the, you mentioned the world climate and the way it is right now, I just don't know where teams sit with selecting, the Russian players right now. And I know it's kind of the elephant in the room. And it seems like every year, right, Adam, that seems to be the way things are. But this year in particular, and I just don't know if a team is going to be willing to stick out its neck and take a player, despite the fact URF is exceptionally talented this early in the draft. I think maybe later on in the first round and the second round, maybe we'll start seeing those players being selected, but it might be difficult, which is why right now at number 10, I have Anaheim taking a real good defenseman in Kevin Korchinski from Seattle in the Western Hockey League. Hearing so much good about Korchinski down the stretch, he can play big minutes in all situations, I like that in a young defenseman. He also aspires to be a hockey coach. So you know he's a thinker out there. You know, the Ducks are loaded up front at forward with Mason McTavish, Jacob Perreault, Braden Tracy, Sasha Pastyshoff, all waiting in the wings. You know, getting another D-man to work on his game and marinate would suit them well. I think Korchinski is that type player at 6'2", 185 pounds. He scored 65 points, including 61 assists in 67 games with Seattle this year. So I think Anaheim would probably play it safe. I don't know if you can play it safe, taking a player of Korchinski's ability. You know, I think getting him at this spot would be, you know, good for their future, no doubt.
All right, so let's look at number 11, the San Jose Sharks. And we make this selection not knowing who the GM is going to be there. You know, they could have somebody in place. You have to assume they're going to have somebody in place before the draft. But Joe Will's in charge now. Might he be the full-time guy? Might they look outside the organization? We don't know yet. So based on what they have now, where they are now, to me, I look at, you know, drafting William Eklund last year at number seven. You know, in 2020, they took Ozzie Weisblatt and Thomas Bordeleau. And the common theme there is they're all centers. So we got to get somebody to play with our top-end young centers. To me, it was Lekkerimaki. He's got the, you know, he's an outstanding skater. He's got a great shot. Whether he gets it off from a stationary position or he shoots it on the move, he's got a really hard, accurate wrist shot. He can pick corners with it. The hockey IQ is good. Lekkerimaki seems like a good fit there for San Jose. However, you saw things a little bit differently.
Yeah, the Sharks have William Eklund, Bordeleau, as you mentioned, Ozzie Weisblatt waiting in the wings up front. So let's go D. Yeah, the only player in the prospect pool right now on defense for the Sharks is Ryan Merkley, really. You know, they can use more depth there. Minchikov is creative, strong, uses that frame of his well at 6'1", 197 pounds, can play physical, you know, and is capable of making that seamless transition from defense to offense, pushes the pace, you know, into the opposing end. So led Saginaw in points this year with 62. So Minchikov does it all, plays good D, is that offensive defenseman that maybe the Sharks like and they would need at some point down the road. You know, give it two, 3 years, maybe Minchikov will be ready for them as well.
All right, so let me ask you, because you raised an interesting point there, and we've talked about this before, drafting for need versus drafting top player available. When you were laying out your top 16, top 32, however you had it, ahead of the lottery, was Minchikov number 11 on your list, or did you see him as a fit because San Jose needs a fit? You know, I'm just curious how you had them ranked out.
Well, you know, you're looking at it according to...
I guess basically, was Minchikov the 11th best player on your board?
No, I mean, players were switching at him. You know, mm-hmm. When you find out what the actual draft order is, you kind of get an idea where players could land. Is that where they're going to go? We don't know.
Right.
But the thing is, I'm just looking for needs. And, you know, you look at the prospect pool, the pipelines for a lot of these clubs, which is something I do before doing the mocks. And I just try to lay it out, like, where would this player be maybe 2-3 years out that they have in the pipeline? Where is this player? Okay, so if this player is going to, you know, if this defenseman is going to eventually reach that level, then maybe they can shoot for a forward or a D to have someone marinate a little longer. So really, I like Minchikov. I actually liked him where you had him going earlier in the draft as well, but it just so happens to, you know, the chips fall where they are and how I kind of view the organizational needs for these particular clubs. Am I right? No, I'm not right. Obviously, GMs and scouts are going to make their own opinions and they have their own draft boards. But I do feel as though that I just try to make the best guess based on what I'm seeing in the pipeline and obviously what Central Scouting has laid out for us on their rankings.
Right. Yeah. I think you were right on the first four picks because that's who I had, but beyond that, who knows?
All right. We'll see. Yeah. All right. Smart guy.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's get back. Number 12, Jimmy Snuggerud from the U.S. national team program. Love the shot. Love the shot. You know, you're looking to add offense to that attack. You know, they, and why not stick with that national team program, right? All they've done is crank out top end talent year after year after year. Cutter Gauthier at number 6. Let's stay with it and take Jimmy Snuggerud at number 12. I mean, it makes sense. You know, you got a guy, you know, he's a good skater, the outstanding shot, the release, you know, he's going to need time to develop in college. but at 6'1", 186, he's already got a nice physical build. Maybe put another 10 pounds on there. He'll still be able to skate well. You add Snuggerud to potentially Gaudier, Kent Johnson, and what they already have in Columbus. That's a pretty good offensive attack that they have the potentially roll out there in 3-4 years.
Yeah. Good pick. I like Snuggerud. You know, obviously, Adam Nightingale thought highly of him and his progression and what he was able to do. Skating got a lot better. So I do. I like Snuggerud in that spot as well. But was thinking D here. But Jarmo Kekäläinen is also out for those character type guys. And after talking to Marco Kasper, watching him on tape, Kasper is that type of player. Was a captain for Austria at the World Junior Championship. Will represent his country at the World Championship in Finland. That's ongoing right now. Possesses real good hockey sense, a high compete level, and a great work ethic as a leader and capable of playing center or the wing. So, you know, he plays for Rögle in the Swedish Hockey League. So I like what Marco Kasper has to offer. I think he'd be a great pick here. Let him grow and develop wherever that might be in the Swedish Hockey League, and then eventually coming over into the American Hockey League. But I think Kasper would be a great pick here for Columbus at 12.
And let me ask you this. Is there a harder GM to read than Jarmo Kekäläinen, what he's looking for or what he sees? I mean, the guy's got a wonderful track record, but you every time you think he's going to zig, he zags. And it's always the right way. But to me, I find Jarmo the hardest guy to read in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's fun. I mean, he's a great hockey mind, great to talk to. I know you've spoken to him for various stories in previous years, as have I. And, you know, he's just a delight to talk to. And he knows the game so well, and he knows those Europeans so well. You know, you'll never forget that draft year, right, Adam, when everyone was questioning, why did you pass on, you know, Jesse Puljujärvi? And then he goes down to Pierre-Luc Dubois and takes Dubois right there. So he's a great hockey mind. He knows what he's doing. And there's no doubt at this draft he's going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah. All right. So let's look at number 13, the New York Islanders. For me, it was Frank Nazar. Really like Nazar when I've seen him play. I don't think he's maybe gotten the attention that his talent sort of have earned him, because there's so many good guys at national team program. And Nazar's not the most flashy guy, but he's just got such a great work ethic, a great compete level. And you watch him below the dots in the offensive zone. He's not a big, overwhelming power forward, but you kind of forget that when you watch him, the way he's able to protect the puck, hang on to it, and make plays with it. He's a smart player, and I think they need more of that two-way hockey IQ with the Islanders. He's going to have some time to develop in college, but man, he to me trends as a really, really good number two center. Look, if 5 years from now, we're talking about, you know, Matthew Barzal and Frank Nazar as your top two centers for the New York Islanders, I think that puts them in a pretty good position.
So how many NCTB players is that for you now? Is that
That would be three, I believe. I got to look at the whole thing. But hey, were they a good team? I mean, did they do well all season? They do well at the under 18s?
They absolutely did.
Well, like talent.
They did
talent
finish
talks.
Second. They finished second. But yeah, they played really well.
So did that Jack Hughes team. And some of those guys are still playing right now as we talk.
Yeah. But, you know, who knows what Lou is thinking, right, Adam? The Owls, you know, could refill the Prospect Cup board with a centerman. They have Atu Ratti waiting in the wings, but really nothing beyond. And I like Luca Dalbell-Belews here for the center from the Mississauga.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, a responsible high-end center used in all situations. You know, Belews attacks the puck and has that 1v1 ability to flat-out beat defenders. He'll take the puck into high-traffic areas in order to be dangerous. He was one of the biggest surprises this season, to be honest with you. And he just got better and better. A real high ceiling. I think Lou kind of likes those kind of guys. So, Lou, consider Luca your man. I think this is this will be the spot for Luca Dalbell-Belews of Mississauga.
Well, I think that's four national team guys for me, and there's still a couple of picks left. So we might hear another guy from the NTTP. But here at number 14, for me, the Winnipeg Jets, Denton Mateychuk really looks like an ideal candidate for them. You know, they've spent so much time trying to find the right pieces on that blue line, and whether it's Dylan Sandberg, or Ville Heinola. It hasn't quite clicked the way they want to. Those guys look like they're close, but Matejchuk brings something a little different. That high-end offensive element. We had the chance to watch him in person at the Top Prospects game. And you know, I think you had the same reaction I did. Just watching him skate, watching him control the puck, control the pace of the game when he has the puck on his stick, just is so obvious and stands out so much. You know, and that skating allows him to get back in the defensive zone. And look, he's never going to be Zdeno Chara or Shea Weber, drive a guy through the boards at 5'11 and 188. But watching him defend, I find him to be so smart with his skates, with his stick, with his positioning. So I don't see a problem with him playing as an actual defenseman defending at the NHL level. So to me, he's got outstanding two-way skills, but the top-end offensive game is what separates him from a lot of guys in this draft class. And if he's available at 14, I think that's a really good fit for Winnipeg.
Yeah, Matejchuk is a great unknown for me. I think he's a great defenseman. Where is he going to go? I mean, I think a team's going to really, you know, pick up someone really good here, because I would think he would go in this range somewhere, Adam. But the Jets, to me, might look best available here. And could Matejchuk be that guy? Yeah. I have Matejchuk going number 15 to the Canucks, the next pick. I think at this pick, with the Winnipeg Jets, I think it'll be Connor Geeky, who's number 5 in Central Scouting's North American ranks. Now, you know, the Jets have Ville Heinola, Chaz Lucius, Dylan Sandberg, Nikita Chibrikov in their pipeline right now. And remember when John Williams was on the NHL draft class a few weeks ago, he told us that Connor Geeky is a taller, lankier version of maybe what Savoy might be. You remind scouts of a Joe Thornton or a Brock Nelson out there a bit at this age, and the way he skates and cycles the puck down low. So Geeky is that power forward type guy, where Savoy was, of course, with the Winnipeg guys, was that shifty player that's on the ice, the smaller, fast skater. Geeky is more that power forward type. And I think, you know, Winnipeg would suit them well to maybe look at a player of Geeky stature. And I do believe that he's a legitimate top 15 pick based on what we saw and what NHL scouts, you know, have told us. But again, at number 15 with the Vancouver Canucks, I went Denton Matejchuk. Of course, you spoke in length about him and what he's been able to do. Finished third on Moose Jaw, I'll add, with 64 points this year in 65 regular season games. You know, and he's considered that strong skater. He can lead or join a rush for scoring opportunities. And for Vancouver, Adam, looks like you went with another NTDP forward in Isaac Howard.
I did. I really like Howard. You know, you get the chance to watch him at the under 18s, and it really stood out. And, you know, he led that very talented team with 11 points in 6 games. But more so than that, you know, he led that NTDP team in scoring with 82 points in 60 games. And you just watch the way he skates. You watch the way he's able to pull away from defenders, that speed, that separation speed that's very rare. He's also strong on the walls. He's a good physical player. You know, the skating and the speed just really stands out to me. And you know, and I know, and I want to go back to something you said about Morgan Geeky. I like Geeky too, but I have real questions about the skating with him. You know, I know he was able to be productive in the Western League this year, but you really wonder, as you know, I go back to the old saying, even Steve Ott scored 30 goals in the Ontario League, right? So guys are able to production in junior isn't necessarily a sign of success at the NHL. And I'll apologize to Steve Ott's friends and family who might be listening, but I really question if Geeky's going to be that kind of top end player at the next level. If he doesn't fix the skating, or at least get it better, it's good. It's not terrible, but I don't know if it's as good as a lot of the guys around him from a skill set wise. So that's why I was really hesitant. I couldn't quite peg where he fits, but I didn't see him as a top 16 guy. So when I'm looking at who's best available, and it's and to me, it's Isaac Howard. I think he's a good fit for what Vancouver needs. I think he's the best player talent wise available on the board. And, you know, look, they haven't had a first round pick since Vasily Podkolzin in 2019. So they need to add talent. To me, Isaac Howard's the most talented player available. He would be my pick if I'm them.
Yep. And then at number 16, the Buffalo Sabres, they get that pick from the Vegas Golden Knights. And what a surprise, Adam. Another National Team Development Program player, Rucker McGroarty. Boy, Dan Moore sold you on him, didn't he? He did.
They should send me some swag from Plymouth, man.
Holy smokes.
Oh, I'm going to have to talk to John Edwards about that. Rutger McGrady, yeah. You know, he's a guy that just in talking to Rutger and watching him play, he's still a raw guy. As good a season as he's had, he's still a very raw player. He told me he hasn't really trained, like hockey trained, up until he got to the national team program. So you look at that and say, well, you know, once he actually learns, you know, what he has to do to get to the next level, he's already gotten to this point without really having all the cards he needs to have a winning hand. He's going to get all those cards now as he keeps going along, and he's already 6'1". He's already 200 pounds. He already skates really well. You know, he's got leadership skills. They made him the captain of that team. To me, he's got a very similar style as James Van Riemsdyk from the Philadelphia Flyers. Big, strong, great shot, skates really well, moves very well for a guy his size. But I think he can build upon the foundation that he's put in place when he learns what specific skills he needs to learn, what specific training he needs to have during the season, in the offseason. I think the sky's the limit for this guy. And if he's sitting there at 16, I think it's a really easy choice for Buffalo, Rutger McGrady.
Yeah, well, I had Buffalo taking, you know, Matt Savoy earlier in the draft. They got their elite forward there with their first pick in the first round. So now follow that up with an exceptionally, you know, talented defenseman in Leon Bichel of Leksand in the Swedish Hockey League. He's Switzerland born, goes about 6'5", 216 pounds. Moves really well for his size, a good first pass, aggressive in battles. And this is just a matter of, you know, Buffalo, to me, you know, kind of filling some roster needs, filling the pipeline with players to complement what they already have. We saw some nice progression down the stretch from the Sabres. So they just have to keep it going here with, you know, plugging their prospect pool with these solid kids. You know, and Bichel, to me, is that type player. You know, he averaged over 11 and a half minutes in the Swedish Hockey League, which is outstanding in my eyes, in 29 games. So he'll probably land there another year, 2 years before he comes over, turns pro. And I like what Leon Bichel has to offer. So that would be my selection for Buffalo at number 16, Adam. Overall, I think with the NTTP and what you've taken, I'm trying to think in my head, you know, the record, I believe, is obviously was in 2019, the Jack Hughes draft, Cole Caulfield, Trevor Zegras. And I think there were 8 NTTP players taken in the first round in that draft. So if all goes according to what you're saying here on your mock draft, then the NTTP could be shattering records this year.
Well, again, look, they're a talented team. There's not a guy. There are a lot of guys on that roster. You look at it and go, wow, this kid could be a player. This kid could be a player. This kid could be a real good player. And we didn't even get to their defensemen, Seamus Casey, Lane Hutson, Ryan Chesley. Those are all guys that could also potentially go, you know, later in the first round in the, you know, 20 to 32 range. But, you know, there's one guy that neither one of us mentioned that I want to ask you about. Ivan Moroshnichenko, the young Russian player who was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma earlier in the season. And you know, I think from everything I've read, there was a story in The Athletic. Our friend Corey Pronman has a story in The Athletic that Moroshnichenko was in remission. So the health maybe isn't as much of an issue. Talent-wise, you know, we're probably talking about him as a top 5, top 7 pick, you know, in a normal year. How close, I'm curious, were you to sort of putting him in your top 16? Or was he not even really a thought for you because of the cancer and the Russia factor, if either one of them entered your equation?
Yeah, the cancer wasn't so much a factor. It was still that Russian factor, Adam. And I think I, you know, talked about that a little bit earlier in the middle of our mocks. But yeah, you know, he's a right-handed shot. It's unfortunate what happened here. You know, coming down with the Hodgkin's lymphoma in February, he had scored 16 points in 31 games in Russia's junior division. He also played one game with Omsk in Russia's minor hockey league. You know, he was told that the diagnosis is the most common form of Hodgkin's lymphoma. So it is curable, which is great to hear. But you know, the thing that I've heard the most and from what I've seen, you know, the kid's shot is just unbelievable. Many believe it's NHL ready right now. It might be his greatest asset. So, you know, we wish the best for Ivan, you know, Merezhchenko. You know, was playing in Russia's second division and hopefully he's on the mend and going to get better real soon. And I do believe, you know, obviously he's going to be taken somewhere in this draft, Adam. I just don't know if it's going to be in the first round. I didn't have him pegged among the top 16 at all. I mean, did you have him anywhere close, or do you think that he is a legitimate, will he go first round to you, in your eyes?
I think he's got a shot to go in the first round. And I wonder if a team, you know, with multiple first round draft picks, you know, we've covered a few of them, but, you know, Arizona has three, you know, would they maybe take a shot? Montreal has two first round picks. Anaheim's got two first round picks.
Buffalo has three. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, you know, as you get down towards pick 25, 26, 27, 28, if Merezhchenko is sitting there and you know he's going to be healthy, maybe you take a shot. See, I kind of have a little bit of a different perspective from covering Oscar Lindblom these last few years. And I know it's a different kind of cancer, but cancer does a lot of things to the body after. And we keep waiting to see Oscar Lindblom get back to being the kind of a player he was pre-diagnosis. And he remains confident he's going to get there. The Flyers obviously remain confident he's going to get there. But if I would wonder if I'm going to put all my weight in that basket to say this guy's going to make it back and be the player that he was in his age 17 season, the early part of his age 18 season, where he looked like he was going to be a top five guy. Will he really get back to that point? I don't know, because we haven't seen, it's 2 years out, and Lindblom doesn't really look like he's going to be that guy again. Now, obviously his skill set wasn't at what Merezhchenko's was at the time. Oscar was a fifth round draft pick who was, you know, maybe he comes over and he makes an impact. But Merezhchenko is a guy who looked like an impact player who can be a significant top of the lineup NHL guy. Will he be that guy 3 years, 4 years down the line? So I think maybe if you have an extra first round pick, you take a flyer on it, but I have a hard time. I think somebody's going to draft him. Somebody's going to roll a dice and maybe somebody gets rewarded. But I think he, of all these guys, I think he might be the real wild card in the draft.
Yeah. I think you just laid out for everyone, Adam, that, you know, based on what you've seen from Oscar with Philly, you know, the fact that Merezhchenko, where he might've been, you know, maybe a top 16, top 20 pick, you know, prior to the season, entering the season, you know, that's no longer the case. I mean, you know, things change and it's changed with Ivan right now. Still an exceptional player, but maybe he won't become that top three, that top six type player. Maybe he'll be a middle six performer down the road. Maybe that's how, you know, scouts and general managers are going to view him, you know, at the draft. And for that reason, I think that's why maybe you take a stab, as you said, if you have multiple picks in the first round, particularly teams with three, Arizona, Buffalo, maybe you take him late in the first. And if not, maybe he's a middle of the second or third round pick, knowing that, you know, he's not going to be that top guy as was projected early on in his career. So it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. And you know, again, we all hope the best for Ivan and what he's going through. We can't imagine how difficult it may be for a player that had so much, you know, going on for him and looked to be maybe a top 10 pick. And now that may change a little bit, but doesn't change, you know, his work ethic and what he's going to do to try to get back on the ice and be the player he once was.
All right, as we said earlier, you can read all about our mock draft 1.0 on NHL.com, and we'll have a full 32-team mock draft as we get through the NHL scouting combine at the end of May and closer to the NHL draft, July 7th and 8th in Montreal. But we're going to change the subject here a little bit. You've all heard of Wordle, the great word game. The NHL has its own version of Wordle. It's called NHL Stanley Couple. Mike, have you seen this?
Absolutely, Adam. I'm a big fan of Wordle. But when I came across NHL Stanley Cupple, I am now an even bigger fan of this. I mean, you can learn about players, how many Stanley Cups. It was a lot of fun. I just played it yesterday. Go check it out at stanleycupple.nhl.com.
The NHL Stanley Cupple is presented by Upper Deck. UpperDeckEPAC.com lets you buy, open, and collect your favorite hockey cards from anywhere at any time. Get a free pack just for logging on. Visit UpperDeckEPAC.com today. As for us here at NHL Draft Class, that's going to do it for this episode. You can share your thoughts with us on Twitter. I'm at NHL Adam K. Mike is at Mike Morial NHL. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.